Blog Talk Radio.
It is March 19, 2017, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. Did I say Sunday?
No, but it is.
I did say, didn't say?
No, you did not.
Oh, I truly apologize. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, and she's already said her piece, or whatever, a pie. Is Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, Grantham. Thank you for asking. And how about yourself? I see you're feeling your oats. Want to give us a couple of nays?
Yeah, very funny. I see we have comedians out of work on this show. Nobody will hire us because we're just too hilarious. We slay them in the aisles, right? Hello.
Well, they're not allowed to say anything because they've already been slayed in the aisle. There's no response from the audience because there is no audience. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, but what a way to go. Die laughing, right?
That's
there
right.
You go. Okay.
That's the best way.
So we have a real serious show, as you can see. Each week we try to cut out all comedy. We give comedy relief. We relieve you of all your comedy, right? So then we get into SD. We're really into SD on our show. We all know what SD is, right, Gabriella? Yes.
Serious disease.
There you go. For those people that have serious disease out there, you can now leave. That's okay. You can stay if you want. It's all right. I don't want my audience to run away just because they don't have a sense of humor.
Are we focusing on any particular plank today? Because last week we spoke mostly about health.
We did talk about that. Didn't I promise we were going to follow up on something? Do we remember what that
yes,
was?
Yes, you did, but I have no recollection whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I can't remember the last 5 minutes, much less an entire week, you know, to remember something that we promised to do. And for all the audience that remembers, and they're going, hey, Grantham, it was this and that and this. I truly apologize. And I will send my apology out in triplicate, and you guys cannot have any copies. Sorry. All right, these are old jokes, even though Gabriella's heard them, but no one else has, perhaps. And she just fell asleep. You can hear her snoring in the control booth. We have a booth that we control.
Something going on?
All right, this is really good today. Quite a frolic. I probably should put this in the categories of comedians on comedic work. On Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
Category for comedy.
Comedic Blog Talk Radio show.
Do they have a category for comedy?
Sure, they must.
They must. I think they do. But, you know, it's very interesting how it's a surprise. I think we are surprised. When you look at the description, it's all serious about the bankruptcy. A really exciting topic, right? And please stay awake, like my guest hosts do, who just blinked your eyes and woke up again. We give her a feather pillow each week, and she nods off.
Yeah.
All right, so the topic this week, the topic you had driven, was we were talking about health last week, and again, we can't remember what we were promising to talk about this week, but we are both raw vegan. We've been raw vegan for 10 years, and that's one of the four planks in my political platform of health, sovereignty, solvency, and a fianchetto. And my attitude is that I added the health plank to it many years ago because what was the point of having a political perfection if you're very sickly? Or if you pass away, what good is your wealth, right? So that means your health is your wealth. Would you agree with that, Gabriella?
Well, yeah, I think that's very important. You have to be healthy before you can do anything else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why I added a plank to the political platform. And people wonder what that means. You know?
And nobody's yet hit you over the head with that plank?
Oh, yeah, the wooden plank.
The wooden plank.
Very thin wooden plank. So we're walking a fine line on that platform. You know, we have to be a tightrope walker, the razor's edge, right?
Well, so if you were to choose a topic other than health this week, just to vary it up a little bit, out of sovereignty, fault, solvency, and affianchetto,
yes.
Which would you choose?
Well, I think the latter one, because it's a difficult term, and it's something that I created in a chess move called fianchetto, which meant the sacrifice of the pawns. Pawns, eight pawns in front of the power row. If people are aware of chess, many people are, that usually the pawns are expendable. So the attitude is, and in the public when they are doing economic demolition and they're not really evacuating buildings and things of that nature. I think that's wrong. And just like the idea when you have ED, which is economic demolition, then they're making people expendable. So I have a problem with that because it's really about money. And if the buildings aren't turning a profit, what happens is they need to be eliminated because they're not helping the monetary system. Now, are you aware of that in terms of, I'm sure, in the past?
Yes, of course. We've talked about that before.
Many times before. We haven't talked about it in a while. And I think it's important to have the public aware of that. At the same time, there is this concern about hidden agendas and why there isn't certain knowledge in the marketplace. My attitude is mostly it's mistakes, even though I think maybe some of it's contrived, because they're always trying to point out and find a culprit or a bad guy that's hiding something from somebody and not telling the truth. So our attitude on the show, just like I have a United Kingdom group call in the morning and on Sunday mornings, our attitude is to seek truth and talk about the truth, maybe from a theoretical side, because I think there's four parts to what we talk about is theory, law, and practice. And you can see that law and practice are distinctly separate. And the question is, well, why is that? So yeah, can you maybe answer some why I separate law and practice?
Well, because what really happens in practice is not, well, law, when you're talking about law, are you talking about statutory law? Let me ask you that.
Well, actually, in terms of when you write down laws, and it's mostly an idea. Like, our discussions are really theoretical, because when you write theory down, it's essentially words on a paper, commentary, or as Woody says, no, I won't get into that, you know? Dissent and commentary merge and create a dysentery. Anyway, so when you write things down, it's a commentary, but it could be considered an agreement or a rule, and then the rule would be essentially law. All right, so when you write things down, my attitude is to put theory and law into practice is sometimes very difficult. And the one thing that comes to mind in reference to that is the idea of specie currency, which really didn't work. It caused, in my opinion, two world wars. I think I have a lot of validity in that opinion, that if you have a specie, for instance, some sort of commodity backing your money, your currency in the marketplace, then there is a predilection for anybody that has another power, like a country, if they know you're warehousing the commodity, they may attempt to plunder that to control the money. And that is my opinion why we had two world wars. Other countries are trying to control or trying to plunder for the gold specie. And then if they took over the gold, then they controlled all the international funding. And that's, in my opinion, what was taking place. Millions of people were being killed. And the proof of that was when the Kennedy assassination, I always bring that up, in terms of Executive Order 11110, and executive orders are getting pretty much kicked in the shins lately, as we now know.
As we now know.
Yes. And we won't say anything about that, maybe. But that particular Executive Order 11110 was giving the president the power to create silver certificates. And that was another opinion that I have, and I think it has a lot of proof to it, why he was assassinated 6 months later, in June when he created the executive order. But as soon as LBJ came into power, he rescinded that executive order within 2 weeks after he was in power. That shows you how nervous they were about creating a gold-back or silver-back money, because it was creating world wars. And so you're saying, well, that's the making the one expendable for the many. But the one of the slogans of America is the E pluribus unum, in terms of the one out of the many, but that really means, in perfect translation, means the one is the many. So that's a misinterpretation that I believe is a major issue. Even in Star Trek, they finally agreed that Spock was more important, because the one is the many, and the many is the one, in terms of the creator. That creative aspect of each individual is very important. And that's part of the fianchetto part is that my opinion is that each individual is very important. Nobody's expendable, you see. So we talked about this many times. If they have to get rid of assets that are not turning profits, the people should be evacuated from that arena and not be like security guards and janitorial people. They should be removed from it too, or told to be evacuate from a building or something that needs to be removed. And we can go back, and people know what I'm talking about, and I'm insinuating, I suppose, that to a certain degree. So do you want to add anything in there? Do you have any questions that you'd like to toss about?
No, but I think that's an important factor, is that nobody should be sacrificed. No one's really expendable.
Right, that's right.
Everyone deserves to live and to fill their life as they wish to do that.
Right. So that's a fianchetto, meaning the move in chess is making the pawn expendable. And making the pawn expendable, and my opinion is you want to save all your pieces. When I used to play chess, I would not make the pawns expendable. I would try to avoid losing that frontline infantry, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's the attitude that people are expendable is completely wrong. In terms of mass population and culling population, that's wrong too. And so that's part of my plank of afianchetto, where the people are not expendable. I'm getting back from the microphone, and you were. I was saying back. I hope that came through, because I was backing up.
I understand. So I hope that we're coming through loud.
Well, I'm pretty loud, so in terms of the mic, so. That, and then, you know, we're doing the editorialism that you're not supposed to do as a professional.
We are doing that. And
Absolutely. So
is this whole topic supposed to be only on afianchetto?
Well, no, I mean, we try to talk about the four planks, briefly give at least a cursory overview of all that, because it goes hand in hand with the money issue about the insolvency. And we try to talk about solvency. And this morning when we were talking about the impossibility of the bankruptcy, because of the fact that we've got limited mathematics in terms of not doing approximate mathematics, as I call it. Approximate mathematics, meaning we, as a group, we can't measure everything down to the penny because there's always some overdraft, and that becomes the issue. But the bankers believe you can count up everything down to the exact banking equilibrium, and that's an issue that I have in reference that you can't balance the books until you would agree that you can go over a few pennies, and that's all right. Otherwise, because, you know, what's an overdraft now cost? I have no idea, like $50.
I don't know either, because I don't know, because the thing is, now today people don't write so many checks, so there's not so many overdrafts, I would think.
Right. Okay.
Because people can check their balance online.
Yes.
It's usually much easier to keep track of finances. So I doubt that.
Right.
I really don't know the situation.
But anyway, there's an issue with that, of not doing things exactly in mathematics. And that's a huge argument. That's a big issue, and why we're going to remain insolvent probably for a long time, because the banking equilibrium is nearly impossible, in my opinion, because you have too many different opinions. That you have one accounting house that measures it, and you have another accounting house that measures it, and they come up with different numbers. But if you hire an accounting office, I think it's the big three now. It used to be the big eight about 30 years ago, but you know, I can show my age, right, with that.
And one of those is Price Waterhouse, correct?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's Price Waterhouse. I'd have to look online, but
they
merged the whole thing, and I apologize for my ignorance and all that, because it really doesn't matter. But they have this, they still have the GAAP stamp. It's a GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles, and they stamp their proformas. Proformas are your numbers and your bookkeeping and what have you. And then when they stamp the GAAP stamp, then they declare these numbers as approved. The numbers are approved. So if another accounting office goes in there, or accountant goes in there and measures the numbers is different, because the GAAP stamp will hold as the Hierophant decision that's made. And therefore, that's why they do that, is because they know that you can't measure, everybody's not going to measure exactly. It's like getting four different opinions about the weather in one day. You know, you look at four different smartphones and you're going to get different temperatures, which I always think is really ridiculous, you know, in terms of the, I call it the relative standard. You know, it's like everybody has their computers, they always think they're the same, but they're always different and different issues.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So the saying everything relative is actually very, very true. But I want to mention something about the solvency issue, because it's not just solvency here in the United States. It's the solvency issue is international. Every place is insolvent.
Right. Anybody has money, it's insolvent.
Sure.
Right. There are countries that don't use it, but most countries, even Vatican City and the two African countries that are not part of the United Nations and claim that they're countries unto themselves, they still use money, so they're part of the system. They may act like they're not really involved with the United Nations, but they are in terms of money. See, because they're using a currency within their country, therefore they're part of the system. So if you use money, you're part of the bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Even though they have, you see what I mean? So it's a matter of, it's not theoretical, that's the practice part. Theoretically, they're separate entities. They're solidarity entities. People say there's countries that are sovereign countries. That's rubbish. Individuals are sovereign, not countries. When they say, oh, it's a sovereign country, well,
right.
Prove to me how you can make the land sovereign. How do you do that? Where's the entitlement? Where's the paperwork that declares America sovereign? Where? I mean, show me that. That's just pure rubbish and rhetoric. You know, pure rubbish. Rubbish?
Rubbish.
Pure rubbish and rhetoric. You see, so that's just political rhetoric, but in terms of the actual facts of the matter, a country can have solidarity in terms of its citizenry and what have you, in reference to having people being citizens of France or some country with a passport, a declaration of a birth certificate of where you're born and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it alluding to that solvency in the Western world mainly, but the Eastern world has money too. See, so aforesaid, it's all about when you have currency, you're part of the international bankruptcy.
Right.
Because of the reason for that, so people can know this, and I've said this many times before, but probably not recent, maybe not in the last several months, I probably haven't been talking about it. And the idea of the international trading peg is the dollar bill. So it's a Federal Reserve note. Before 1945, the pound sterling was the international peg for trading. That meant that all currencies in the world, before they were traded in the primary market, they would have to be converted to whatever the peg was. Prior to 1945, everything had to be converted to pound sterling. Now it's converted to United States dollars, Federal Reserve notes. And the reason for that is that, were you going to ask that question?
No, go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead.
I wish to continue.
What I was going to say there is that when supposedly at the end of World War II, and I've talked many times about how England controls really the Western world judicially, because Privy Council is actually the highest court in the world in terms of the Western world. I'm getting far away from that mic. You know? Okay. Anyway, so the Privy Council. And that means that because of that control, George VI didn't want the defacing the pound sterling with the banner Federal Reserve note. So if anybody has a dollar bill on them, take a look at that dollar bill, and at the very top, you'll see the banner that says Federal Reserve note. That banner used to say silver certificate before 1930. So George VI in 1945 did not want to deface the pound sterling. That's the reason for it. Just like Brexit, they didn't want to change the euro, so they buggered out of the European Union. So
right, but that's not actually...
That's the same.
Okay.
That's the reason.
I read just the other day, that's not actually finalized.
No,
but it's in a process, isn't it?
Well, the issue of... They got out of it because they weren't going to cave to the euro.
Right.
So that was the main attitude.
Right, but I don't think it's, what I'm saying is the process isn't quite finalized yet.
Right, that's true, and it's all about business and things of that nature, mm-hmm. and perception and things of that nature,
But
too.
I think the Queen did sign off on it. She's in agreement with
it. Right, because they were never going to cave into to the pound sterling being changed to euro, getting rid of the pound sterling. I mean, look, they made the Federal Reserve note. They made it look like America won World War II, and that was just rubbish. And so they said, okay, since you're the winner of the war, you can have the international peg as a dollar bill. But little did they know is all they were going to do is change the banner and debtize the dollar bill, turn it into debt, and also make it the peg at the same time. And deface it, take a silver certificate off and put the Federal Reserve note and turn it into a debt instrument. But George VI didn't want to do that. So that's why they made the dollar bill, the peg in 1945. It's going to stay that way. I mean, people talk about peg and changing to different pegs around the world, different currencies. Never happened. I've talked to people about that. They don't understand what it's about. So I have to explain to them the in terms of my expertise in this reference to the pegging system. And that's why all the currencies in the world are bankrupted because the dollar bill is debt and everything has to be converted to it. And downward from medium term notes that are not currency, they turn into debt as they filter out into the countries. That's why everything's under debt.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. Okay. But easy, too. That's why I explain this. That's why I try to do each week here. Even though it may have its complexity, you can replay these in our archive. We have about 400 shows, and you're welcome to replay these shows each week and to see what we're – to reiterate or – repeat what we've just been talking about. All right, so yeah, you had a question there?
Well, I did, but it's been so long ago.
Oh, you forgot the question.
I don't remember what the question was.
I see.
So I apologize to you and to the audience.
To our
for
audience.
Not remembering what that question
that
was.
Question was.
Because that was probably about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes
And you
ago.
Probably answered it anyway.
I probably answered it anyway. And I'm a parrot, and I just repeat everything that anybody
That's
says
right.
to me.
He just repeats whatever I say.
I just repeat everything she says. But see, I didn't say what she said. She said I, and I said she.
That's
so I do
true.
Have an individuality after all.
You're an individual parrot.
An individual parrot, right.
Right.
Polly is
not
parrot.
Any run-of-the-mill parrot.
Polly, want a cracker? But I don't eat crackers, by the way, unless they're dehydrated at 105 degrees.
Raw vegan crackers.
Yeah, raw vegan crackers.
You would eat those.
Yeah, I do eat raw vegan crackers.
I've seen you.
Yeah, she has seen me do it. There's proof
That's
there.
Right.
She's living proof that I eat raw vegan crackers. So Polly does want a cracker. Can we have a cracker? Or is he crackers? I'm not really sure of that either, okay? But having said all that, what we try to do is we pursue the truth on the show. I said that earlier. And I think we do a pretty good job in explanation in terms of what people really appreciate it. And my Sunday shows, we had a good crowd this morning. We had about 5 new people online to listen, 1 from California, 2 more from Australia. So it's an international call, and people are welcome to get on that call. In fact, I can give the number, but maybe I should do that. It's 712-432-1500, and the PIN code is 321-338 pound sign. So if anybody wants to listen to that call on the Sunday mornings, it's pretty early in America. Of course, the times vary, obviously, internationally. But in America, on the East Coast, I get on it at 6:15. 6:15 in the morning. So it's pretty early there, but I accommodate the United Kingdom because they're 5 hours ahead of me. So they get on about 11:15. But it's about 3 hours long total, the show. So, but anyway, so people are welcome to get on to that.
You don't have to stay on for the entire.
No, you can come and go. So you don't have to be there exactly on time. And it's interactive. It's a discussion. There's a lot of people. And as you know, if you've been on conference calls, it's very difficult to break in sometimes, but you can do your best, you know, to fight your way to the center, as I say. Hey, Grantham. All right.
Yeah.
So and we make it somewhat of a comedic type flair, you know, easygoing type thing. So you don't have to feel uncomfortable in terms of interactions. We try to accommodate people as much as possible. It's hard to.
You can also just listen if you don't want
sure,
to
absolutely.
Interact.
Right.
It's perfectly all right.
Yeah, my attitude is you have to learn how to be a good speaker and a good listener. And we'll let people run at length if they have some sort of agenda or an idea, because there's plenty of time there. Albeit, it does fly by. The time flies by. Mm-hmm. They always say time flies when you're having fun.
Right. Now, regarding this Blog Talk Radio show, there are hundreds of shows in the archives. If you want to go back and research any of the past shows, you're certainly welcome to go into those archives and listen to any of the shows. How long have we been doing this?
Doing this since 2009.
So, really? Okay. So this is our eighth
March.
Year?
Yeah, March would be the eighth year then.
Yeah.
Starting our eighth year.
And
that's pretty exciting in itself. And I know people really appreciate it because I think we're the cutting edge in terms of certain information, because online they're not really focusing on a lot of the information that we have. And I question a lot of the things that I do see. There's sort of a golden thread of truth through everything. But I think we have the fleece. We have the warp and woof fiber of that entire golden fleece. I mean, that's audacious, too bad.
And we don't charge any money, so you don't have to worry about being fleeced.
I'm going to applaud to that. We're pausing for an applause, right? Well done, Gabrielle. That's really terrific. You get a high five for that.
High five, everybody.
High
Sorry
five.
You couldn't see that.
You got a high five for that. Brilliant work. We don't fleece anybody because we are the golden fleece. I like that. That could
mm-hmm.
be a slogan, too.
Yeah.
Albeit my slogan is to work with and not against anybody. But that's my attitude. We try to work with people. We need to come together to try to get to the right good information. Let's just bring the truth out on the table. Let's not have hidden agendas. It's an outflow issue. And we don't want people to feel uncomfortable when they come to the forum, that they're going to be put down, that sort of thing. So sometimes these things get awkward because phone calls are linear. You know, you can only talk one at a time. And as Mozart said, if we talk at the same time, we better sing because then it'll be opera, right?
That's right.
Yes, I'm going to. No, don't start singing, right?
Yeah, we're not.
And don't lose your day job, right?
That's
whatever
right.
You do. Or you can lose your nighttime job.
It'd be okay for you, but they don't want to hear me.
That's not true. You have a very nice voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you're quite welcome. It's a mutual admiration society, right? There's a song that I won't even plague people with that one, too. We are
no.
a mutual.
Okay, so how many minutes do we have left to the show?
We have about 3 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
All right.
Yes, we have 3 minutes to the show, and so we'll try to waste 3 minutes here if we can. I can do a soft shoe and a little dance.
They can't see you doing a
they
soft shoe.
They can't see you do a soft shoe? They can't do that?
No, they can't see
okay,
you.
Okay, we have to do YouTube to do that, right? YouTube, right?
We could do the
with a straw hat and thing. You know?
Yes, we can actually do YouTube shows.
Yeah, people have asked me to do that before.
Much
then
better
you got,
to do YouTube
then
shows.
Then I have to comb my hair and dress up, see?
Right, can't wear your pajamas.
I can't wear my. I'm not wearing my pajamas.
He's
just
not
for
wearing
the record,
his pajamas.
Just for the record.
I'm
so,
just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I would. At the same time, that's why they didn't do those phones, those picture phones in the past, because people had to fix themselves up.
Right,
you know?
To answer the phone, they had to go comb their hair and.
Yeah, they had to look good. You know.
Put the robe on.
Yeah, put the robe on. So that's why they don't do. Those picture phones were a big failure because they always, I guess, kept the video off, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
So that's why it never went over very big, the video phone. Probably never will because of that, I think, in my view. So we're down to 2 minutes left. We'll get a signal when there's 90 seconds left. They signal us, but the listening audience doesn't get to hear the inside track on that.
Oh my gosh. We have the inside track.
Yeah, but we reveal everything on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you have it. They
90
just,
seconds.
They just told 90 seconds. So we'll do our fairly wells and housekeeping. Thank you, Gabriella, for being on the show. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate all the information that you give to everybody. And I know that everyone else does, too, because I've heard so many responses from people on the call on Sunday. Maybe you should give that number again, just in case.
Okay. The call in the mornings is 712-432-1500. And the PIN number is 321-338#.
And that's Sunday morning, 6:15.
Eastern Standard Time. Right.
So feel free to join, and if you're in another part of the world, figure out what your time is.
Right, figure it out, because I'm not going to. All right, so we're down to the last about 30 seconds to the show. And again, I want to thank Gabriella and thank the journeymen that listen to each week. And for the new people that have come on, I hope we've made you your day a little better, a little lighter, because we try to build levity into our days. So this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, signing off this week. Have a really wonderful week. We'll see you next week, and goodbye for now.